Lord Jesus, it's your word, and your word declares that our spirit is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of our heart. God, you know the things that we need that will change the way we act and the way we think, the way we believe, God. And I do pray that there is somebody here. I pray there's a lot of people here today, God, who receive a word of prophecy today, who are in here and cannot believe that the things that are being spoken are about them, that they really think like somebody called in advance and told them about it, that something happens today that causes people to be convicted, to be convinced, and to turn to you with all their heart and all their love. God, as you changed my life and so many of the lives here, may the power of your word continue to change and never stop. Defeat the enemy, God. I ask you, please, Holy Spirit, to cast out the spirit of fear. Cast out the spirit of disbelief. Cast out the spirit of anger and unforgiveness, the root of bitterness. May it be pulled up today. Holy Spirit, may this place be a place of spiritual purity today because your spirit says so. We bless you and we thank you and we invite you to do this work in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Hey guys, today's study is very, it's what's called doctrine. Doctrine is a fancy word that if you walk in Christian circles for any length of time, eventually you're going to hear about doctrine. The word doctrine doesn't technically have a meaning beyond teaching. Now what has happened is the church has used the word doctrine as a way to divide one belief from another. Calvary Chapel believes this, Catholicism believes that, this Protestant believes this, this Protestant believes that, this Jehovah's Witness believes that. Everything that you believe or disbelieve is a product usually of doctrine. What I like to call, I heard a pastor one time years ago say, doctrine is nothing more than scaffolding that people use to prop up a different kind of faith, a faith unnecessary on this side of heaven. We don't need scaffolding. Why I so loved Calvary Chapel as a movement is because it does not go into doctrinal differences. There is a very famous saying that says this: when it comes to the essentials, we will have unity. When it comes to the non-essentials, we will have liberty. But in everything, we shall have charity. And I like that. There are some doctrines that are extremely divisive, some teachings in the body that are divisive. We are not going to look at them today. But what we are going to look at is a couple of doctrines today that the Lord himself deals with. And I promise you, I've pulled nothing out that is not here. And I want you all to call me and I don't know if he's saying that, you might say to me. Go ahead, say it if necessary. But what we're going to deal with today is the Lord teaching us doctrines. Now, if we started Catholicism, let's say the craziest doctrine in Catholicism is transubstantiation. It's like some people believe wholeheartedly that when they give them the cup and the cookie, it literally turns to the body and blood of Christ. Well, to those that are not Catholics, that's the dumbest thing you ever heard. To them that are Catholics, it's holy. Now, does it mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to us if you are Catholic or not? Does it mean anything? Then why would we use it to put somebody else down? Now, Mormons, they believe that there is another planet on the other side of Earth that you can't see, called planet Zolar or Zoloth or something like that. And there is where the devil and Jesus had an argument with their mommy and daddy and said, okay, you're going to have a battle for the fate of Earth. Now, we listed out, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. Well, you know what? That's their business. I don't care. You know why? I'm not a Mormon. It could be miracle wheat from Jehovah's Witnesses. Miracle wheat, look it up. It could be, oh goodness, there are these doctrines of the teachings of some movements that are so ridiculous. They're so absurd that they could create this disbelief, if you will. They're the things that, If CNN was here, they would say, excuse me, do you consider yourself a Christian? Yes, I do. Okay, that's great. And what do you believe as a Christian? Well, I believe the Bible says to love God and love neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself and neighbor. Oh, that's wonderful. Do you believe in the rapture of the church? Yes, I do. Oh, he's one of those. What do you mean? Now, if you've not heard of the rapture of the church, this is one of our incredibly ridiculous doctrines, which I use the term ridiculous in a very, not to mean it irreverent, because I believe it wholeheartedly. But somebody outside the church would say, you believe that? Are you, you must be one of those. It's something that you take from somebody's faith and you bank everything on that as why they're stupid. Chuck Smith, who is the founder of Calvary Chapel, he was really wise in saying, as a Calvary Chapel, we're not a doctrinally lined up. We're not a doctrinally based church. We don't believe in the division that doctrines bring, only the unity it brings. Here's what he said. Show me why and how what you believe makes you more like the Lord Jesus. Then after that, I'll decide for myself if it's what I need to believe. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been going through some pretty emotional, pretty like, wow, that's amazing stuff. If you're not into doctrine, you might not like today's teaching, but this is where sometimes you got to have a little broccoli, a little broiled salmon. My father was really into liver. He liked liver. And he kept trying to make me eat liver all the time. It's good for you. Eat it. You got your thing in liver, huh? You like liver, bro? Who likes liver? Well, you're Brazilian, so that don't count. You guys eat chicken hearts on a skewer. Huh? Liver's good, too. Brazilian thing. There you go. Well, listen, the Jews, like, they eat cow tongue. Mexicans like cow tongue, too? See, that's why I don't like Mexicans, right there. And that's why I don't like Brazilians, right there. You see what I just did there, guys? And that's what people will do to us. They'll say, you believe in the rapture of the church? Cuckoo. So what is the rapture of the church? Okay, briefly, because we're going to go through it in a little greater detail. The rapture of the church is we believe that the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again, is going to come back and pull everybody who believes in him out of this world, leaving the world not just without the influence of the Holy Spirit, but without the influence of the church itself, thus ushering in what is called the time of great tribulation, where the earth goes out. If you think things are bad now, take all the Christians and the Spirit out, this place is going to go literally be hell on earth. Now, if you guys have never seen the Left Behind movies or Left Behind series or stuff like that or any of that, I mean, that's kind of weird. So, you mean we're just going to get snatched away, but pulled up? I mean, how is that going to, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. We got a few verses that we lean on, and we got the word of the Lord himself. But you see, that's why people hate us. That's why they think we're cuckoo, because we believe that doctrine. You with me? With those prefaces there in place, where's my good glasses? It's the time where the Lord Jesus is having what some scholars refer to as the upper room discourse, the briefing of his closest. He has stopped talking in parables and he's talking plainly and straightly to those that are his. Thus, he speaks that same way to us, and he says to them some of the most beautiful words ever written, some of the things that the English language cannot say any sweeter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so,
I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Please give me your attention. What a sweet and comforting word. It's almost like honey on a sore throat. No matter how you confuse, no matter how you try to hear the voice of the Lord when you're reading scripture, there's only one way to hear what he's saying now, with sweetness. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And what a silly thing to say. In my Father's house are many mansions. No, he made a mistake. What he meant to say, in my Father's mansion are many rooms. No. And that's what makes God so amazing. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I'd have told you. And I love this. Chuck Smith said this. He said, the Lord Jesus some 2,000 years ago said, I'm leaving to go prepare a place for you. He's been gone for 2,000 years. Now, in the book of Genesis, it says that in 6 days, God created heaven and earth. On the seventh day, he rested. If he can make heaven and earth in 6 days, you want to tell me what heaven's going to be like after 2,000 years of preparation? What have I got to worry about? What fear is there? Why do I let that do it to me? I've had this crazy thing happen to me, and I'm sure it's been happening to you. I all of a sudden, I don't know if it's my 50-year-oldness or something like that, but all of a sudden I start to see things to their illogical end. I've had a few things happen to me over the last couple of years that have created this almost like a panic, and I'll be walking with my kid, and all of a sudden I'll see her fall into the water, and a shark come and eat her, and it's like all of a sudden I'm walking, and this is going on in my brain. I'm like, why did I just go all the way there? The canal is 6 inches deep. There's no sharks in it, and if she falls in, she's just going to walk out. You know, I'll be walking the dog, and I have it's these weird, I don't know if they're darts or my own stupid. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right, so. It's like all of a sudden dread and doom and fear have decided it's got to grab its nails into my heart. No, I ain't gonna let it happen. I'm not going to keep entertaining it. I'm also not gonna make believe it's there. I'm not gonna let my heart be troubled because I believe in God. Therefore, I also believe in Christ. And he's going to prepare a place for me that where he is, I may be also. And if I die, I die. If I live, I live. While I'm here, I will share Christ. When I die, I will be with Christ. What have I to fear? What can man do to me? My God made the stars in the sky. Whew. Now, please also understand, going back to the idea of doctrine, he is going to prepare a place for us. But I will come to you again. Now, there are two separate things going on here that a lot of people in the church don't understand. There is the doctrine of the rapture, and then there is the doctrine of the second coming. And it confuses a lot of Christians. It confuses a lot of scholars. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. A twinkling of an eye is a nanosecond. It's the smallest measured fragment of time. I think it's like 150 seconds over something of a second. I don't know exactly what it is, but that is what it's referring to, that we shall all be changed. Boom, changed. The another in 2 Thessalonians says, I tell you a mystery. No, he says, that's the other one. He says, comfort each other with these words. That the harpazo, or the rapture. Now, some people would say the rapture, now those that argue against the rapture of the church say the word rapture does not even occur in the Bible. You're right, but the word harpazo
occurs in the Bible. Harpazo is taken from the Latin Vulgate, which is the first translation from Hebrew, from Greek into Latin, the Latin Vulgate, and then it's translated into English. The word harpazo does occur. Harpazo is the word rapture. So you say rapture in the car, yeah, but harpazo does. And the word harpazo literally means to snatch away, to pull up, to escape. You with me? Did I lose anybody yet? The Lord says in that very verse in 2 Thessalonians, he says that we will meet the Lord in the clouds, and thus we shall always live with the Lord. We will be snatched away and meet the Lord in the air. Questions? Okay, however, there is also maybe a dozen or more scriptures that talk about his second coming, when he comes to rule the nations with a rod of iron. When he comes and he has one foot on one mountain and another foot on another mountain, and in the valley of Megiddo is the battle of Armageddon. Two completely different things. One says he will pull us out, and the other one says we will come back with him. When he translates us, when he transforms us, when we are, you ready? My pastor used to always say he can't wait for his new body. Because in heaven, when he is transformed like a seed, the Bible says that a seed goes planted in the ground, and you don't even know what it is sometimes, but it grows up. Imagine a seed of a wheat seed that grows into a stalk of wheat, and you're like, that turned into that. That is what it's going to be. In heaven, see this? Gone. Even, what are you saying, JD? Even God can't do that? I'm going to be Hulk-like. With the hair. I want different color. I want blonde and dark hair at the same time. Like every other. Fabio. Say again?
Fabio.
No, Fabio. He says we'll be translated, we'll be transformed, and what's going to happen is here's the verse. Behold, I see the Lord with 10,000 of his saints coming back to this earth to pronounce judgment upon those who hate him. Now you know. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, doctrine of only one way of salvation. There is only one way. Now, some would say close-minded. Some would say that's not fair. What about these people, that people, and those people? If you're that worried about them, we'll put you on a mission trip and you can go talk to them. Here's what the Bible says. The place that we talk about from Scripture is heaven. The place, the person that we talk about is God the Father. The one way to get there is through his Son, Jesus Christ, according to Scripture. So somebody says to me, are you going to tell me you believe that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ? That's my only way. If you have another way, I guess you take that way. Why don't you try not to start an argument with me about something stupid? If you have another way that you're going to get there, maybe you make your own. Don't be deceived, guys. Don't let the trickery of the world try to get you into an argument. Are you saying the only way to heaven? I'm saying the only way to heaven in this book. If you want to go to Utopia, you want to go to Nirvana, you want to come back as a better cow or something like that, there's plenty of other religions out there. You go have at it. Don't argue with me about it. For me, the only way, Jesus. You guys follow me? Why is this? Because I am going to show the world what I believe about God and how I follow him is going to make me more like him. And I am going to be involved in their life enough so that at some point in time, they're going to say to me,
What do you have that makes you so steady? How do you get through these trials of life? How do you do it? And now I'm going to say, can I tell you about my Jesus? My Lord, my Redeemer, my Savior. But if what I believe isn't making me more loving, if what I believe and how I believe isn't making me more like Him, then my doctrine might be failing me. You with me? Yes, good. Continuing. There's another doctrine he says here. Verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. Buckle up, because we're about to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity, another ridiculous doctrine that people outside go, so you believe in three gods, but one person? Yes, I do. So let me get this straight. There's three different, but there's only one. Yes, I do. Do you think that's a little weird? No, I don't. Well, explain it to me. I can't. How come you can't explain it to me? Because it's beyond me. There's a really great man named Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, the one who he got his name from. And Martin Luther said this, if you try to explain the Trinity, you can lose your mind. But if you try to explain away the Trinity, you can lose your soul. Now here, the Lord Jesus is trying to explain it to them in English, in human language, which doesn't near explain it. But stay with the drift of the Lord's conversation and see how the only thing he could possibly describe is one God, three separate persons, perfect unity. Watch this. An egg, yolk, shell, white. You pick it up. Do you call it eggs? Hey, I got an eggs. No. Water. Could be steam. Still liquid. Could be liquid. Could be frozen. Could be ice. Still water. That's not really good. No, it's not. There is no really good when it comes to the doctrine of the Trinity. So how do I wrap my head around it? Now, here's the important thing. Who said you have to? Who told you you have to? Yeah, but I want to have a reason. I want something to tell people when they come to me with it. Let them see why what you believe makes you more like Christ. If you can argue somebody into the kingdom, somebody else is going to argue them out of the kingdom. You can't, it's not smarts. As a matter of fact, and you've heard me say this, Ken Graves, he says, if you have been chosen by God, you have not been chosen as a compliment. He chose the foolish things of this world. He chose the weak things of this world. He chose the abased things of this world. Oh, but it is an honor to be chosen. Not a compliment, but a great honor. It's not the smart. Imagine if it was only smarts, and only smart people would go to heaven. Some people just been given the gift of faith. Just believe. But I don't know, man, I really struggle with this Trinity thing. Stop. Listen to the way the Lord puts it. Jesus said to him in verse 9, have I been with you so long and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. He says, I raised the dead. I healed. I walked on water. I turned water into wine. If you're having so much trouble believing in me, believe that I did the works of the Father who dwells in me. And that is the point for us. Don't get caught up in being so pious. Don't be caught up in being so religious. Just do the works of the Father. Just love God and love people. Even brown and black people, even gay people, even white people.
Just love them. Just love people. That's the only way you're going to get them into the kingdom. That's it.
Verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, and even Asian people like Brian, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Now please, you could circle that word for greater there, because that word has brought a lot of people a lot of consternation. It doesn't mean greater as in bigger. It means greater as in more. The Lord Jesus only worked the works of the Father for 3.5 years, guys. You get to walk with the Lord the rest of your life. You will do even more than Christ if you let him and his Father take up residence in you. You will pray for those and they will be healed if you pray at all. You will do something that only the Lord Jesus did up till then. You will be able, because you have been given the keys to the kingdom, you'll be able to change people's destination from hell to heaven. You will literally be able, with that power and understanding, to save the souls of men by leading them to the Lord. / women. Whew.
Pretty amazing. I told you there's a lot of doctrine going on here today. Where did I leave off? 13, man. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, please, doctrinal churches have built doctrines around that verse. That verse there is probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. So much so that there are people preaching in our town that God has to do what you tell him because of this verse. That if you desire to be rich, you must claim to God, according to your word, you must do what I ask if I pray. And let me tell you something. That is, in my opinion, a damnable heresy. If you want to do the works of God, you ask God and he will give you what you wish and what you ask. Not if you want to be rich in the... How did this happen? How did that doctrine... You want to know why? When I was in prison, I learned a little bit about Islam. There were some really cool brothers that I had there, friends that I hung with. And we would listen to Way FM. In prison, they don't give you can't have tapes or CDs or iPods, but you can listen to the radio. So we'd listen, and we'd sit around, and we'd play cards or not, and we'd always have Way FM on. And I had this one brother, and I would say, bro, you're a Muslim, man. You got your prayer thing. Why do you listen to this music? He goes, man, I'm a Sunni. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, that means I love God. And I believe that Allah and the God that you serve are the same. So I can listen to all these things about Jesus and worship with him. That's pretty cool. Guy never had a cross word from him. He was always filled. Now, here's what I believe. Because the Bible says that those who seek me will find me when they search for me with all their heart. I don't care what sect, religion, I don't care what name you call the faith that you believe. If you are truly involved in seeking God, not the religion, please, I'm not sitting here saying that Muslims go to heaven. I'm saying that Muslims, if they're truly seeking God, will be led to the Lord Jesus because of their sincerity. I am saying Mormon, Sikhist, Buddhist, any faith that they are participating in with the desire of seeking God, the Lord Jesus will lead them to him. Do you understand that?
To make a religion and a doctrine over something as so selfish as to say, I want, thus God has to give me, and to have not thousands, hundreds of thousands, literally millions, the biggest churches, does anybody know where the biggest churches, I know guys, listen, I know it's hard to stay focused to all this teaching. Today's more like a college class, and I know it's hard, but try, because this stuff here, this broccoli is gonna make you strong. It's going to. You with me? You got me? Shake it off a second, okay? Okay, you with me again? All right. What was I saying? The biggest churches in the world, you know what they are? You know, anybody know where the biggest churches in the world are? Kenya. And China. And you know what kind of churches they are? What it's called health, wealth, and prosperity churches. The wealthiest two pastors in the entire planet live in Kenya, Africa. Their bank accounts swell to $50 to $75 million. Because they tell you, look, there's a dude out there named Creflo Dollar who is mega rich and has a mega church. Literally thousands and thousands of people go to Creflo. Does anybody here ever heard of Creflo Dollar? And you know what he preaches? Wealth and prosperity. You walk in that church and the first thing you have is people up front come and give you a first offering to God. And then 15 minutes later, they have the band coming around, and it's a rocking band, and they walk around. Come on, man, get some more. We know you got it. Come on. And then the pastor will say, I feel a seed offering. A seed. Wait, who is it? Brother, you got paid on Friday, didn't you? I knew it. Thank you, Lord. Lord wants to bless you with a seed offering. If you will, give me $1,000. God said he will bless you tenfold. Say amen. Now you guys laugh. You think that's funny? And you go to one of those churches and you are freaking brokenhearted. You sit in there because I did that. You know, I had to know why I was going to be a Calvary Chapel when we started a church. So me and my friend Tom, we went to all these different churches to see. And you're sitting in there and you're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This dude is passing a plate around looking at me now. Come on. Huh? Oh, there's a church that you make. What church was that? Come on. Life Church, you make a contract. If you promise, oh, this was so insane. You have to write a contract that you will tithe every single week for 3 months straight or 6 months straight. And if you choose the 3 month contract, they will refund half your money. If you choose the six-month contract, they will return all of your money if God doesn't show up and bless you, but you have to bring them and show them your check stubs. That's what it is. Say again? No, it's extortion. What were you saying, Kenny? Huh? Well, of course, if more people go there, it's the Lord, right? I mean, big churches are in the Bible. The best churches in the Bible, I mean, if you read second and third chapter of Book of Revelation, all them big churches, God said, man, I love you so much, that's why I bless you with all those people, right? Craig, was that the way it worked or not? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Those are the churches that he said were broke and blind and weak, and they didn't even know it. And the little churches that were actually weak and poor, he said, you're great in my eyes. Oh, silly me. I'm so dumb. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So now we looked at the Father and the Son, but now there's a helper? Yes, verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Again, completing the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit, who will be with us and in us. And that word for in the Greek is the word en, which means takes up, attaches, never leaves. It's one of the reasons why we call it the doctrine of eternal salvation, where you cannot lose your salvation. A lot of attachments, a lot of doctrines today. A little while longer, verse 19, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Please give me your attention. I knew this guy, his name was Nate. It's about 25 years ago. It's gotta be 20 years ago. I had just gotten saved. And a drunk driver on his block killed his sister, ran into her car. He was pulling out his, bang, slammed the car, dead. The next day, Nate's father took Nate and three of his other sons, the man had four sons and a daughter. I think there was other kids too, I'm not sure. He took all his kids to this drunk's house. You know what he was going to do, right? He's going to take care of business. And he knocked on the door, and the man opened the door, stone drunk. And one by one, they looked at him and said, in the name of Jesus, we forgive you. I heard that story, and I was like, no. What can possess a man to forgive somebody who killed your kid? Let me read it to you again. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is what the Bible calls the peace that passeth all understanding. When you think something, you feel something, you do something that you have no right, no power, no strength, that nobody would ever imagine you would do, when you can look at somebody and say, I forgive you. Listen. Please stay with me, and I hope this is for somebody here, because I just remembered this. Oh, no. I've had friends in my neighborhood that have gotten killed. We were involved in stuff that most people don't understand. Some of you here know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, I'm sorry. You're just not going to wrap your head around it. But we weren't civilians. We were organized. We did things for money. We did things that, when one of your friends got killed, the only thing you can do is kill them in return. And the first thing that you find out when you have committed some kind of atrocious act like that is you don't feel any better. You don't feel any better. You wish somebody dead. Because something, let me put it to you maybe in a way that you can understand it. You guys, I told a story about my little puppy. I had a little dog named Nora. Nora died. She got hit by a car in front of my house. A teenager ran her over right in front of my kids. You guys, you heard the story. It was horrible. Nora's like my favorite little puppy. I have a bunch of dogs, and Nora's just my favorite. I just love that dog so much. She was the sweetest, kindest thing. And the first thing I wanted to do was get another dog. I had to get another dog because that dog was the love of my life. You know, I mean, dog-wise, anyway. make sure my wife's, okay, she's not. Yeah. So I got two dogs, just like her. You know what I figured out? I still hurt. Every time I drive by the place where she was killed, I have to fight that vision of that to happen. I don't feel better. Now, I love those little puppies I got, but I don't feel better. The only thing that's going to make you feel better, forgiveness. You can't win with hate. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You can't win with vengeance, guys. It won't make you feel better. If your husband cheats on you and you cheat on him, you're not going to feel better. If she does something, you're not going to feel better. The only thing that breaks that curse is forgiveness. You were just sure you'd feel better. So I grew up in a neighborhood, in my neighborhood, 12-year-old kid got killed riding a motorcycle. He's riding a little mini bike in my neighborhood, and a neighbor ran him over. And the kid blew the stop sign, and the neighbor was just wrecked. Didn't know that the kid that he killed, his father was a big-time mobster. And at first, I'm sorry, but what happens is their brain can't rest. So the woman starts saying, no, he's staring at me. He's laughing at me. He killed my son. You know, all these crazy things. So one day the guy comes up, disappeared, gone. You can look it up if you want. I'll give you the name later. You can look it up. This is a true story. You think these people felt any better? Their son was dead. It's okay because they killed it. Now that kid, that guy's family doesn't have a father anymore. And if you knew the mess that has become of their family, it's horrible, horrible. You won't feel better. Vengeance won't make you feel better. And the only way is to let God manifest himself in you. Judas, verse 22, not Iscariot. And if you're new to scripture, that's not Judas that betrayed him. That was another one named Jude. Said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Guys, please, real quick, and we're going to run through this last couple of verses. You can't love God without loving his word, and you can't love his word without loving God. That's just the sad truth of what it is. And a lot of people struggle with that. You meet people who say they love God. If you don't love his word, you don't love him. That's why I tell you so many times, guys, please read your Bible every day. It's virtually impossible to have a day-to-day, moment-to-moment relationship without reading his word. It is a must. It's a necessity. It's like working out. It's like eating all the right foods without working out. Or it's like working out without eating the right food. It's not going to work to its fullest. You've got to get into your word. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And I love this. He finishes the chapter by starting the chapter. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You've heard me say, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world might know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. arise. Let us go from here. All right. He's told us before it comes to pass, so that when it does come to pass, you will know that He is with us. And there is nothing that's going to happen in your life that He's not known about. There's nothing that's going not to happen in your life that He has not planned from the beginning, no matter how wonderful nor how tragic. Winston Churchill said this, and I love this. Failure is not fatal. Victory is not forever. It's the courage that counts. Failure is not fatal. Victory is not forever. It's the courage that counts. What a wonderful application for us. It's not what we do, win or lose here on earth. It's the courage to try and accomplish the goals that God has set before us. Whether we accomplish them or not, He will give us the very strength to try. Never quit. Whatever circumstance of your life have come upon you now, He says, I am with you always. I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. You cannot give up. You can't. It will. Okay, I'm done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this amazing word. May we draw peace from it through every storm that this world and this life has thrown at us, God. May I pray now over your people that your doctrine, God, settles their heart to know that even should the world think we're crazy, may they only see we're just crazy for you, God. May we, with the diligence of a warrior, wrap our hearts around the love of God, which is able to save our souls. God, and I do pray for anybody that's here. They were spoken to today. The power of the light of God has shined in dark places. Guys, I got to interrupt the prayer because I do believe that there is somebody here that needs to accept Christ as their Savior today. I don't know how many opportunities they may have after this, but if you have never accepted, if you've never opened your heart and let Jesus Christ inside, it's very important to do this in a public way because He did it in a public way. Yes, you can do it in your car. Yes, you can do it when you're alone. You can, and that doesn't change salvation none, but there's something wonderful that happens when people and the powers of the enemy that are present see you stand for Christ. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, stand to your feet. Let me lead you in a prayer of salvation. It's not a magic prayer. It's just words from your heart to God. If you are here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, if you've never given your heart in front of people, or perhaps you just need to reconfirm it because you did it in your own heart, but you never did it in public, please, this is your opportunity to stand up. Christians, be praying, and God will break chains. Anybody here want to make that proclamation? Listen, if everybody here is saved, I praise God for that. But it's very rarely that I'm going to stop in the middle of a prayer and do that. There's somebody here that isn't sure in their salvation to stand up and say, I do. Ask God to loosen the fear. Ask Him to strengthen your legs. I don't know how many more ways I can put it. Right on, brother. Right on. Anybody else want to join our brother Matthew in dedicating yourself to the Lord? All right. Yes, absolutely. Right on, PJ. Rachel, beautiful. Anybody else want to join these two brothers and sister to stand and to give their life to the Lord without apprehension? Right on, my young brother. Very good. Good job. You guys that are standing now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you. Thank you, Scott. Right on, bro. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And more than the words of your mouth, it's the condition of your heart. And the prayer is going to basically say, I open my heart, I let you inside. All right, Ron. It's got to be something that you're speaking to God. This has nothing to do with the words that I give you. It's more just letting God flood your heart with every word. You that are standing, or if you're sitting now and you want to say this prayer, whatever reason, say now, Dear God, I open my heart and I let you inside. Be my God, be my friend, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Take over my life. I have decided this day to follow you, Jesus. I am a Christian. Amen. Amen. Nice job. If there's anything you need after, please come and see us. But the Bible so clearly says that he who begun a good work will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. If you need a Bible, if you need just a prayer, leadership guys, please come up here. Sisters, brothers that are in leadership, be up here. Just be a voice to talk. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your weekend.